May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 339.
339. Oh, my distrustful heart, how small thy faith appears, but greater, Lord, thou art than all my doubts and fears. Did Jesus once upon me shine? Then Jesus is forever mine. Hymn number 339.
Thank you. Let us read together for our instruction from the Gospel according to Matthew, the chapter 12. The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 12. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were anhungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, Have ye not read what David did when he was an hungered, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? And he said unto them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then saith he to the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. But then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed, and said, Is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts, and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Either make the tree good, and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt, and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words shalt thou be condemned. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return unto my house, from whence I came out. And when he has come, he findeth it empty, swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold thy mother, and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. The Lord bless to us the reading of his most solemn word and help us to pray. There who art in the heavens and lookest down upon us upon earth, seest us exactly as we are. Lord, we may deceive ourselves. We may deceive those our fellows, but we cannot deceive thee. We would come therefore confessing our many sins and shortcomings. They are known to thee, that thou, O Lord, wouldst have us to confess them. And though as we gather together as a company, we would not confess individual sins, but to confess in that way that we need thy forgiveness, thy mercy. And so, Lord, as each one may individually before thee confess, so we would seek to join together and desire thy pardoning mercy. O Lord, where would we be but for thy gracious compassion, that thou didst send thine only begotten Son into the world to save poor sinners, condescending to us in our lowest state, that we might know something of thy goodness as was known by those who did see thee when here upon earth, and thou didst go about doing good, because the good Father had sent thee. And Lord, there were those that knew the blessed benefit, not only temporal but eternal. Lord, thou didst cause the Spirit to work in their hearts, to bring them to not only confession of sin, but also to confess thee as the Son of God, as Lord of all, as their only hope. So, Lord, with one and another whom thou didst heal, whom thou didst restore, whom thou didst cause the devils to go out of, and such were brought humbly to thy feet to sit there clothed and in their right mind. Oh, that it might be with us. Lord, do remove from us the pride of our heart. Remove from us, Lord, that spirit of Pharisaism, where we may boast of being better than another. Lord, we know this when taught by thy Spirit, that none can boast of anything because we are all sinners. And he that has sinned in one point is guilty of all. But Lord, also if thou hast caused us to know thy sovereign mercy, then if we are saved, it's nothing but a miracle indeed. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt grant help as we are here gathered. Lord, may there be a real appetite, a hunger and thirst after those things which are eternal. May there be a desire for Christ. O Lord, how often we have to mourn that Christ is not as he should be in our thoughts, and not because of any fault with our blessed Saviour, but with us. Oh, the waywardness of our minds. Oh, the defilement of our heart. Oh, the folly that we find in our ways. Lord, we pray that we might be brought as those in that day when thou wast here, to come desiring to touch like one even the hem of thy garment, and believing that we shall be made whole. Lord, may we be as the leper who was of the 10 but returned unto the blessed Son of God, his high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. No earthly priest could do him any good, nor absolve him of his sin, but to return unto him who had cleansed him. O Lord, may thy cleansing virtue, the precious shed blood, be realized in our own souls. Wash us, we pray, and clothe us in the righteousness which thou hast wrought for us in that perfect life of obedience to do thy Father's will. Give us, Lord, the desire to do that which is right in thy sight. And if we fail, may we be encouraged with the words of the Scripture, that if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. We pray for help in ministering the word. Lord, a poor earthen vessel at best, and often feeling the emptiness, but Lord, may it be proved that we're not without that treasure of that new life, that which wells up like a spring, and flows forth, that the evidence of thy quickening work may be realized. And therefore, what is spoken may carry that authority, for we know in whom we have believed. Lord, also the apostle could speak of that which he had seen and handled and tasted of the word of life. And O Lord, though we may see but see by faith, not by sight, nonetheless a blessed view, and to have heard, oh, to hear that blessed voice that calls, that also encourages, that teaches, and that reveals to us the blessings of salvation. Lord, draw us, we pray, with those cords of a man, those bands of everlasting love. And now, Lord, we would seek to bear before thee that those not able to be with us, some may be listening in, and we would desire that they, in so doing, may be rewarded, finding that moment to listen in, particularly those that have their parental responsibilities. And Lord, the children may require assistance in one thing or another, but Lord, may it still be that something is heard to satisfy the needy soul. Lord, we would pray for the young. Desire thy blessing and mercy upon them, all that they may be kept as they grow up into years. We are thankful when there seems to be that desire to also gather with their parents to the weeknight service. Lord, may it be that as the children grow older, that there is that willingness to accompany their parents or parent as it may be. Lord, we'd also pray that there would be mindful of those in sickness. We may not know of any particularly in this congregation, but thou knowest, Lord, those that may be suffering in one way or another. We would pray, Lord, for thy mercy to those who are affected, but not of this congregation. And we would remember, Lord, the one that has been subject to what we would call an accident, but has caused some great concern. Lord, we are thankful that there is a stabilizing of his condition. We do desire, Lord, that much help may be given so that the right decision may be made with regard to the future. Lord, there are many things that may need to be weighed up, but do grant that wisdom. Lord, there are others that we may not know of. We commend them to thee. We would remember the bereaved at this time. Those that have been bereaved recently, and some are waiting for the burial of their loved one. And Lord, may they be helped in that waiting period. And also those that have now seen their loved one laid to rest. But oh, now they may feel they miss the loss even more acutely. But do sustain them. We would, Lord, pray though for the widows and widowers, and for the fatherless as they may be, Lord, not having just lost, but perhaps some months or years back, but still they need thy gracious help at times. Suddenly they may remember a situation where they were involved with their dear one, and what those memories may bring. Lord, it may bring perhaps a certain comfort. On the other hand, it may also be mixed with much sadness. We would remember, O Lord, thy people that suffer for thy name's sake. Thou knowest, Lord, those that may be persecuted and threatened, but help them to stand at such a time. Lord, may they see deliverances, but if not, then they may have a sweet and blessed constant consolation and hope that whatever they may her face may bring them, particularly at last, to the one whom they trust and serve. Lord, we would also remember those that are and have and still do suffer the conflicts of warfare and what it has done, ravaging many areas, bringing desolation. Lord, we would pray that they, if they fear thy name particularly, may be upheld in those times of trauma and difficulty. Now, Lord, we would bear before thee our sinful land. We mourn the situation which we find our land in. There is much evil that abounds, and the ways of men are made evident, not just in the fact that they may do some wrong here or some wrong there, but that they have turned their back wholly upon thee and thy word. And when we were called a Protestant and a Christian nation, dare we even think of putting such terms to us now? And unless we believe there is that remnant of thy people, those that still profess the name of Christ, and Lord, may it be that their prayers that are sent up unto thee, that they may see answers and deliverances. Lord, we pray thou wilt give us leaders that will lead us in right things, and leaders of strength that may withstand the evils. Do have mercy upon our King. Lord, there are those things which he was left to over the years. But now, Lord, in this position that he holds, may he reflect on the past and evidence that sorrow over those things and lead the people unto things which may show that he is a defender, as he has acknowledged, of the faith. Lord, we pray that there may be yet those changes made in his heart. Lord, thou art able to do these things. Now do hear us then in heaven thy dwelling place. Pardon us of every sin, all that we've uttered amiss forgive. We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 408. 408. Oh, what shall I do my Saviour to praise, so faithful and true, so plenteous in grace, so strong to deliver, so good to redeem the weakest believer that hangs upon him. Hymn number 408.
Thank you.
As the Lord may be pleased to help me, I direct your attention to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 12, and the last clause of verse 42. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 12, and the last clause of verse 42. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. We find throughout the chapter our Lord faced with those accusers and would seek to find fault with what he said, and indeed condemned him, even to casting out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. What a solemn thing to speak against him who is the Son of God, and who here revealed in flesh that he might come to save those that he that were his from all eternity. And they, being of the natural people, so to speak, the natural Israel, should they not have a humility in coming unto this one whose authority had to be acknowledged? And yet they would not believe him. Therefore, our Lord, in speaking to them, spoke of those that would rise up as the men of Nineveh in judgment with this generation. The Queen of the South, or the Queen of Sheba, as she is also known, would also rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. These that are particularly mentioned here, the Ninevites and the Queen of the South, were Gentiles after the flesh. And the term Gentile signified that they were not believers. They were not part of those that were of the children of God. And yet in the wisdom of God, it was that there should be many termed Gentiles of the flesh that would come to be true Israelites through the Spirit of God. Realizing and knowing something of the wonders of this one, whom the Pharisees and the priests of the day condemned. And behold, a greater. Our Lord, we know and note throughout Acts as that servant, and he who was of no reputation, and yet he would be of reputation amongst those that believed him. There was the blind man in the 9th chapter of John's Gospel, who came to declare some wonderful truth and to put those that questioned him to shame. Here was one who had performed a wonderful miracle upon this blind man, and now he saw. And that was one thing that he could testify of, if nothing else, that he was once blind, but now I see. And he beheld, therefore, this one, which is in our text, greater than Solomon, greater than Jonas, and greater as we have come in a moment to speak of then the temple. But let us just consider the words of this man. This man, he answered and said unto them, "Why, herein is a marvellous thing, that ye know not from whence he that was Jesus, well, from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God, and doeth his will, him he heareth." Dear friends, have your eyes been opened? Not the natural eye. You may all see. Often blindness comes when we are increase in age. Not necessarily. This one that was born blind, now he saw. And he saw this wondrous man, and he was brought to believe him, particularly when the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" Now he realized that this man, Son of Man, had done a wonderful miracle which only God could enable him to do. But now he would come to testify as to who this man truly is. Jesus said, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." And he said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. What a mercy if the Lord works faith in your soul to bring you to know and to see that this one that is greater, greater than even a Solomon, great king as he was, even greater than Jonas, though he went to preach the truth unto those Ninevites, and greater than even the temple itself. You will perhaps have observed, as we read, that when they charged him charged those disciples with eating the corn, plucking the ears of corn that they may eat of it, because they were hungry, that there were those that made charges against these disciples. And our Lord, he would answer them. And he spoke of two things. First of all, David, how when he was a hungered, there he entered into the house of God, and he did eat of the showbread, being given it of the priest. And then secondly, he says, "And have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless?" What that actually meant was that those priests on the in the temple offering the sacrifices and ordering the bread upon the table, the showbread, and all those things were done on the evening of the Sabbath, that which came first before the morning, but nonetheless still to be considered as part of the Sabbath. And that was a work which was done, and yet the commandment was that they should not do anything that is the people on the Sabbath day, no work, no servile work or any such thing. And yet the priests, they would do the work there in preparation for that, which then would bring the people to worship God. If these things then were permitted, then should not one that was hungry then satisfy himself with that which was given of God? Well, this is just the context here. But the priest there in the temple, our Lord then goes on and says, "But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple." Our Lord on more than one occasion pointed out that it was his body that was the temple. And when he testified to them that destroy this temple and in 3 days I will build it again, that was not the temple that they viewed there at Jerusalem, but it was himself. And it is significant for us to observe, "I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple." Speaking of a person, not a building, one greater. The disciples are seen a little later in this the gospel. They take the Lord and they show him the temple and the stones of it to remark on its wonder and beauty and magnificence. But there was one that would far excel and exceed all the magnificence of that temple. They indeed beheld the temple that had been built first after the days of captivity and then again restored by Herod. But if we go back to Solomon and his temple that was built, Solomon dedicated that temple in all its magnificence. And Solomon strove that it should be such that may be rightly admired and bring the people to worship God. And when the ark was brought in and put in the most holy place, then the priest had to withdraw because God had filled the very place itself. And such was the sacredness of that temple. And in Solomon, in dedicating it to God, would pray for those that may look to it, and look to not just the temple, but to God himself. As a Jonah from the whale's belly, he looked to the temple, not that he could doubtless tell which direction to look, but it was there an act of faith with Jonah, as he knew the importance of that which God had appointed, where men may serve him, but not in this mountain, nor yet at Jerusalem doth the Father seek such to worship him, but they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so the greater temple is to be seen. All of the magnificence of that temple of Solomon was nothing to be compared with him who is the temple itself. And when we come, as we hope we may, let's help to speak of Christ as the greater one, then We will try to bring forth one or two things as to how he is greater. Not only greater than the temple, but greater than one who may minister to the heathen, and the effects of that ministry was to bring them to humble themselves in dust and ashes, and to confess their sin, and to turn in a sense unto God. Doubtless some may have well turned and viewed as Abraham did by faith Christ's day. We do not know, but we know that there was that reprieve of destruction, and that because the Ninevites had thus been brought to repentance, so they may rightly judge those that would not receive repentance and did not think it was necessary to repent, there in the pride of their heart. The example, though, of the Ninevites was still disregarded by those Jews. But now we come to our text where it is said, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. How great our heavenly Solomon is. First of all, what wisdom is found in Christ. If Solomon was endued with wisdom, having decided of the Lord speaking to him as to what he should give him, and Solomon was given by that preparation, no doubt of the Spirit, to answer. And he did not seek for great things, or for riches, or for notoriety, or any such thing, but for wisdom, that he might rule the people in a way that was honouring to God. A greater than Solomon is here, one who is the wisdom, and who roars in the midst of his people, who roars in heaven and in earth. He who does perform those many things to his own honour and glory. But the greater wisdom that we may see is in his condescension. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And of his grace of each we received, and grace for grace. That is so with those that see him as greater than Solomon. Yea, their only hope hangs upon this one whom the Father sent. And what a wonderful thing when we can see his condescension, that he condescended to us in our low estate. And there, when he was here upon earth, he ate with publicans and sinners. What, may we say, did he eat? Well, doubtless, of bread, but after his resurrection, when he taught with those two to the that were walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And they were sad, as you know, but he was able to testify of those things that had been suffered. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Their heart burned within them. But when they constrained him to abide with them, there in the house he took the bread and brake it, and their eyes were opened. Oh, there they were to feast upon something more than just natural bread. The blessed sight of the Saviour. Dear friends, do you desire to have such a sight? And is it that you may be a partaker of those sufferings, a partaker of that body? This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. What a sacred ordinance the ordinance of the Lord's Supper is. Do you see a beauty in it? Have you seen it and witnessed it, dear friends? Is there a longing that you might be a partaker also? Not just of the natural element? No. That will not give you spirituality. But if you have received by the Spirit those things of Christ, then to be a follower of Him, to be a follower of Him will make you a partaker of those things which He is. It is He that gives life. Solomon could not give his people life. They may be born unto his kingdom, but he could not do any more than receive them as those that were his subjects. But this greater than Solomon, it is He who with the Father will commission the Holy Spirit to quicken such a poor, a wretched sinner to know the life of God. And where there is the life of God, there will be the evidence of true repentance, godly sorrow over what we are by nature, over what we have been, and what we are still, and not just the fact that we are sinners through that original sin, but we are sinners and ever will be whilst we are here in the flesh. Poor sinners that are apt to fall and backslide and turn aside. Yes, we have no strength, no power in ourselves, only as He gives us that strength and power. And what is it that He gives us? That we may be given strength and power, but that precious faith, faith that will look alone to Him. And this is how we have to run our race. This is how we may lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. As we run, we look to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. There you may plead for that faith. Give us more faith, more solid faith, more confidence in Thee. Break off these legal chains, O Lord, which do nothing for us but hold us back. And nothing that can bring liberty in those chains, but He can break off those chains of illegal worship. And these Pharisees were steeped in their legality to such an extent that they put more emphasis upon their own acts and worship rather than upon the one whom they were to worship. So the importance of those things that they set so much store by, and even adding to the law as it seemed pleasing to their own eyes. Dear friends, let us not think that lest we should boast and say we're not like them. The Pharisees were ready to say, I thank God I'm not like other men. But oh, look to the heart. Is Christ the chiefest and one object? Or do we seek to elevate our own worship, whether it be your many prayers, or you may find that you even boast of your lack of prayer. So that is something to be satisfied in. You will find that the tempter is very subtle. He knows how to give you to trust in something base, something of the flesh, rather than trusting in this precious Christ, this one who is greater than Solomon. Yes, Solomon, the Lord gave him great riches. He was endowed with such things as were not only obtained perhaps by his diligence and wisdom, but also by the many gifts that he may have received from one place or another. What a Solomon though we have here, one who gave himself more than Solomon could do. He gave himself that he might be the richest of his people. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that we through his riches might be made, that we through his poverty rather might be made rich. It's his poverty that makes us rich. It's his condescension. It's his taking of our sins and bearing them, the punishment of them, when he should be taken by wicked hands and crucified. But here he went willingly. Oh, what willingness. How willing was Jesus to die, that we fellow sinners might live. Think upon it, friend. Think of what he has done. Well, far more than Solomon could ever do. But it is the riches of his grace that we may receive from him. So we are blessed through that atoning sacrifice. Not all the blood of beasts and Jewish altars slain can give the guilty conscience ease or wash away the stain. But this one who gave himself, yes, what an offering, what an atonement. What that blood can do, sprinkled upon a mercy seat, there is your acceptance, that which can wash you thoroughly, purge out all the vileness of your old self to bring you as a just before God, justified through his merits, nothing of your own, but also that you should be clothed with that righteousness. Now, the Queen of Sheba, and I must return to this, the Queen of Sheba, when she came, she spoke, first of all, of those things that she had heard concerning Solomon, that they were true, but only half had been told her. My thoughts went like this. Though we may perhaps live many days, yet at the end we can only say, whilst we are in this state, this flesh, that only the half has been told. It's not until we see him face to face that we shall know the fullness of all those things, of what he is, of what he has, of what he does, yes, and what he's done. Do we appreciate, can we appreciate all that he has done? There are times when Yes, we may fall down at his feet with great thankfulness of heart and with a true praise. But oh, for a heart to praise my God, a heart from sin set free, a heart that's sprinkled with the blood so freely shed for me. Can you say that, dear friend? You may say, but my heart is so vile, so wicked, so wretched. But see that here is a precious flood, a fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. Venture on him, venture wholly, let no other trust intrude. See here, there is one who is able to deal even with the greatest sin, the vilest sinner, out of hell that lives to feel his need, is welcome to the throne of grace, a Saviour's blood to plead. See, therefore, the wonders of this Solomon. What mercy is shown from him. Yes, Solomon may regard this Gentile, this Queen of the South, yet perhaps not to be entertained. Yet Solomon would entertain her because she had come. She had come to see him. And now, you in all your need, you come desiring that you might see him. Like those Greeks that came and inquired and said, we would see Jesus. Greeks, see Jesus? Was there something that stirred in them? Did they need a saviour? We're not told. There's not a sequel to that. But if we have come with a light desire to see Jesus, there will be a sequel to it. Though you may often say, oh, my deceitful, wretched heart, yet there will be those moments when you will also break out and say, do not I love thee, dearest Lord? Behold my heart and see, and cast each hated idol down that dares to rival thee. But, and what a but it is that we have here, or rather and, what an and it is that we have here. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. A greater than Solomon, who may bestow many things upon his subjects. Yet here we may come and come to the very throne of grace. We may perhaps think, well, the throne is in heaven, but he spreads it. And we view it there at his very feet, as well as the seat upon which he himself sits. We come to the throne of grace to plead our case, and he is ready, willing to hear. What an ear is his! If Solomon heard every word of the Queen of Sheba, so he may have done according to her desire. But the God of Sabaoth bows down his ear to hear the groan, the cry of the poor destitute soul. But now to return to the Queen of Sheba, and those are things that she said. Howbeit, I believed not their words until I came. How we need to not just go on hearsay, so to speak. Although Thomas was rightly chided, as it were, because he said, "I will not believe except I put my finger into the hands of the nails and thrust my hand into his side." And the Lord appeared so that Thomas may see. Then Thomas's faith was realized. He would not just go upon what had been told him. He wanted it to be known personally. But nonetheless, our Lord said, "Blessed are those that have not seen and yet believe." And what a blessing it is to find that there is that belief in our heart. And now we find that the Queen of Sheba goes on and says, "Happy are thy men, and happy are those thy servants, which stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on his throne. Behold my servant." Does the Almighty speak of his own dear Son, his messenger, his elect one? "Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth." Here we find that the Lord delights in his own dear Son, and that is the ground for him loving all those that are his subjects. Not one to go unloved, but to be loved with an everlasting love, and to be drawn unto this one that may be viewed by faith. And so, delighted in thee to set thee on his throne, to be king, for the Lord thy God, because thy God loved Israel. Well, it was true that God loved his natural Israel all the while they served him. And there was a much mercy shown when they did depart. And how many times he would have gathered them under his wing, as our Lord says, but they would not. They would not. Only those who were given faith, and such as Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and Samuel and David. We could go on to many, couldn't we, that are set before us. These all died in faith, though they had not received the promise, that is, the fulfillment of that promise. They saw Christ's death, it were afar off. But nonetheless, they could embrace those things by faith, as you and I may also embrace them by faith. But we have the testimony. We have the canon of scripture which has now been penned. There's nothing to be added. Let us never take anything from it either. Oh, that we might therefore rejoice in the word that God has given, and that it might be dear to us, that the word of God we may seek to read it from beginning to end. I must pass on, my time is going. Here she could rejoice in that God loved Israel, but he loves his spiritual Israel, both of Jew and Gentile. For they, whether Jew or Gentile, if they are brought to know the precious cleansing power of that blood are therefore ever justified, and also may know the sanctifying effects of not only the death of our Lord, but also his life, that we might be found as true followers of him, to establish them forever. Therefore made he the king over them to do judgment and justice. But as she saw not only all the gold and the riches, she also saw the garments. The garments that were to be worn by the attendants and the ministers and the cupbearers, they all had the garments. But all those garments, as beautiful as they may be, can never be like the garment that he gives unto his church, that is the robe of righteousness. Now we read of this garment in that 45th psalm. What a psalm it is. No wonder the psalmist would say, my heart is indicting a good matter, I speak of the things which I made touching the king. But how was the king's daughter to be seen? The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee with gladness and rejoicing. Shall they be brought, they shall enter into the king's palace. There he views them. He views them in his own righteousness, clothed, and therefore he views them faultless and perfect. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. But I must conclude that the greatest honour that the spouse gives with regard to her heavenly Solomon, we read first of all in the third chapter these words: behold his bed, which is Solomon. Now, we got to remember that it was the spouse that was speaking, and how a blessed a place it is when we have that communion with our beloved. Then we will say, behold the bed which is Solomon's. There we may have true intercourse with him who can embrace us in that arm. The arm that may be, or the hand that may be under our head, and the arm that embraces us. Then again, three score valiant men are about it, are the valiant of Israel, and all hold swords. They all, with the word of God, defend the very cause of the people of God. And it is that they may not only defend them, but also instruct them. Instruct them through the word. But how we need to be taught to wield that sword. And weakest souls, says the hymn writer, can wield it best. The word of God, brought to be written upon the fleshy tables of our heart, that we may find that when we are assaulted by any, or those that may try to remove from us our consolations and our joys, they may seem to do so for a moment, And though that moment may seem a very long one, yet it is but for a moment. For such are our light afflictions. They are but for a moment. Temptation, sorrows, cares, all these things are but for a moment. But as it goes on, they both, that every man hath his sword upon his thigh because of fear in the night. And doubtless we often know that fear in the night. But when we are most exposed to the powers of darkness, then we may find that our sword is put into the hand. Reminds me of Bunyan's a Christian who there, having made that sudden slip and the descent from the house, beautiful I think it was, and there Napoleon met him and he lost his sword. But when he found it, he said, "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, for when I am down, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me." Well, he made the pillars thereof of silver, and the bottom thereof, that was the chariot of wood of Lebanon. And what a chariot it is, that which may carry us into heaven. The chariot of his love and of his grace. Well, I must just now just turn over the page to what the spouse says in response. My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold, and locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. Cheeks are as the bed of spices and sweet flowers. His lips are like lilies dropping sweet smelling myrrh. And so it goes on. All that Jesus is, all that Christ is, all that the glorious mediator, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the God-man mediator, he who is the one who can draw us, can save us, can deliver us, can present us before his Father. Ah, then, here is a Solomon, a true Solomon, one that was greater than Solomon, our heavenly Solomon, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Well, he is very approachable, dear friends. Yes, Solomon may perhaps have had or shown an awe of majesty, but our eternal majesty, he stooped down to wretchedness and dust, that guilty worms might rise. So we have hope, but not only hope in his descension, but he that descended is he also that is ascended. And there as he ascends up into his glory, there to answer for us at the right hand of the Father, we may find we have an intercessor, a blessed advocate, one that can answer for us. Well, we leave these things with your, that you may think upon them. Amen.
God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting. for the nation and the churches on Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock. Mr. Bernard Burgess is expected to preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. John Rosier on Tuesday evening next week. Our closing hymn is number 34. 34. To comprehend the great Three One is more than highest angels can, or what the Trinity has done from death and hell to ransom man. Hymn number 34.
And now may the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, abide with us evermore. Amen.